Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell, Ray Chung, and Matt Cole. Also, Bucky, the executive producer, and the producer, Luis Gomez. You can check us out on all your social media networks.
So, are we good? Everything levels checked?
Yeah.
Everybody's good. You didn't hit push and play, did you? You already did, you faggot, you.
Wow, really?
Dude, we're going to need another piece of paper for you, dude. That's going to be... Right, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, give him a roll. Hey, Bucky, can you bring him a paper towel roll so Matt can slap up all
this? I used to think I was fat, but I just realized I'm just completely sodden with sweat. As soon as I get all out, I have a beach body again.
You did right, man. You'd be good. You'd be good to go, man. You're good to go. Mel, man, thank you for coming out, man. I know you're a very busy man.
Yes, sir.
As Matt would always say, hey, tell our friends how to find you,
our
baby.
Our friends. Which are
friends? Are we on? Are we going?
Oh, we're on.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're not going to edit. Hey, we don't edit. We don't cut. We don't,
I like it.
So you might
They can
say
reach
something.
Me at, first of all, on Facebook. That's the easiest for me because the brother is 44.
Relax back. I think it picks you up. You don't have to get it close because you're the one that mics that picks you up.
Right.
Or whatever you are. These guys are all in directs. You speak wherever you are.
Right,
it's comfortable what you want to be. He'll adjust it to you.
Okay.
So, yeah. So how do we find you again?
First of all, on Facebook, you can go to Mel Austin Comedy. And then on my website is laugh2success.com.
Laugh2success.com.
Yes, sir.
I like that.
So now, what is that?
Well, man, listen, I started a company called Laughing to Success Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we provide stand-up comedy services worldwide. So what it comes down to is everybody loves to laugh, man. We
Correct.
Do church events, fundraisers, hospitals. We even have a team that does anti-bully assembly for schools.
We did a couple of anti-bully.
Is that right?
Yeah, we did a couple of them.
Wait, so you do a comedy show for these anti-bully?
Yeah, we
you
bring...
stop beating them up all day.
Comedy and magic. Yeah, we bring a magician.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Blow these kids away for 45 minutes, just getting them cracking up. But teaching them at the same time.
Well, that's a good thing,
yeah.
Teaching them how not to beat the other kid's head in the locker room.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do all grades. You know, I'll tell you, elementary school, they're adorable. You know, high school, they're mature. But junior high, they're the damn devil. You know
what I mean? You hear that about that age.
All them hormones,
six and,
man.
Eight.
Some hormones. You just want to slap them. I was going to take my belt off.
No, you weren't.
Boy, he pulled out his gun, then I was like, never mind. Never mind.
Let me see if I can relax a little bit.
I got bullied, you know what I'm saying?
Just give the bully burst, man, please.
Exactly.
That's cool, though. So how long you had your company for?
Going on 2 years now.
Okay.
But I've been doing stand-up like 18. You know, this is how, a lot of times, comics, they do the regular route, which is going on the road,
mm-hmm.
Trying to get into Hollywood. Well, when I started comedy, I was a single dad. So I wasn't able to just
go and
leave.
You said when you started, you were a single dad, so you're not a single dad anymore?
No, not anymore.
Locked up.
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to the hell. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I couldn't leave my boys at home, man. Especially black men, they're always in jail. So I had to make sure my kids were not a statistic. So I started staying local, doing local bars, clubs, and a lot of private events. And that's where I learned how to really hone the craft on being clean as well.
Mm-hmm.
So were you
dirty when you first started?
Or? I'm still dirty, player.
It just depends on you.
Yeah, it just depends on where I am.
He did the clubhouse show and killed it.
Oh, see,
he was dirty,
right? Yeah. Oh, I wasn't dirty.
Thank you.
I was just talking shit.
That's all.
Yeah. Doing all that flim flam flappering.
Right.
Little flam bam boom boom. So no, that's cool because I heard the squeaky clean and I was like, oh wow, is it all clean? So I'm glad to hear that. Is a little bit of both. So you being you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just adjust, you know what I'm saying? I can't get the kids laughing if I'm talking,
talking their language. You got to talk another language to get their attention.
Right, exactly. And I want to get paid. So.
Yes, there you go. And that's a good way to get paid.
I want to get arrested.
That's for sure. So now how many people do you have under your network and your group?
I use all comics.
Oh, really?
I mean, 200-300 comics I think I know now.
Yeah.
And it just depends on their style. See, it's all about the style is how I do senior citizen homes, believe it or not. So I use certain comics that I know will fit in that environment, you know. You know, like, I couldn't have Matt there. You know, they'd be all falling in love with him.
Yeah. I thought so, too. I thought you had to go clean for senior citizens. I did a VFW. And this lady's like, when are you going to tell the dick jokes?
Nice.
Yeah, because she's 80, so she wants to see some.
Exactly.
Or yeah.
Exactly. That's
no,
cool.
They were shoving dollar bills down all the comics' pants. It was,
really?
Yeah, VFW Hall in San Diego.
I believe it. I believe it.
Dang.
But no, I go into the actual senior homes, and, you know, we keep it clean, you know, and it's amazing, man, because older people... You know, they tell you the truth, you know, they're like, how much longer before bingo starts? What? I just started my second joke. Come on. What? You know, but we bring a magician in as well. See, I've learned that the mentality of senior citizens is very similar to elementary school.
Oh, yes.
Very similar. So they, you know, and I use Wacko. I don't know if you guys heard of Wacko the Magician. He talks like this. And they love that for some reason. You know, me, I don't know how the guy gets laid, you know. Worried about him, you know.
Well, he said he's hanging around children, so that's a little concerning.
Right.
So now, what got you started in comedy?
You know, I always wanted to be a motivational speaker. Oh. And
did you coach at all?
Coach?
Yeah.
No, I was just, you know, loud. Okay. You know how black people are. Yeah.
I used to know them. I guess apparently I don't know them anymore.
Right. No, I always wanted to be a motivational speaker, and a buddy of mine that I worked with at the time, he was going to an acting class, and he's talking, man, the honey's up just hot, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going.
Yeah.
So I went and just to hang out, and the teacher approached me. He said, hey, you ever thought about being an actor? I'm like, nah, man, I want to be a speaker. And he said, well, you know what? Everything you learn here, you can apply it to being a speaker. Try to school for a month free, and the rest is history.
Really?
I started acting, and about a year into it, I realized I was a really funny actor. And I started getting these little hints about doing stand-up. At the time, you know, there was Titus had a show.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Lawrence had his show. Like, I noticed these comics... Seinfeld. They all had their own sitcoms, and so we had this seminar at our acting class, and then some big time directors came, and I asked, I said, why are these comedians getting their own sitcoms? And they said, well, you know, as a comedian, you're already trained, you know what's going to get people laughing or not instantly. And so, and then he looked at me and he said, if you're thinking about trying stand up, do it. I think people that do comedy got big balls. And I just sat there like...
She's like, how do you know?
Can you see them through my pants?
Right. I guess I better do something. But yeah, my first stand-up was at the Comedy Store on Sunday night. Yeah, one of the guys in my acting class was the manager there. So he got me on the list.
Oh, nice.
And man, I did the first one and bam, you know.
Was that the potluck open mic? What are they
yeah, I guess that? So. Okay. Potluck. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
So, 18 years ago.
I was about to say, wow, a while ago. Hey. So then after that, you basically stayed local in doing your comedy.
Yes.
because of the boys.
Right, and what helped, too, was that...
How old were your boys, though, back then when you started?
I want to say maybe 6 and 8.
So not any one of them in the business at all?
No, man, they try to be funny. They always bagging on me. You know?
At the family picnic?
Exactly. No, at the dinner table.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Every day I'm getting
like, yeah,
I'm
you ain't funny. Shut up.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny when you don't eat dinner. How about that? You know?
When you ain't eating no more.
Right,
we're going to be laughing then.
Exactly. We got 6 kids, man.
Ooh. 6 kids?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Brady Bunch.
Man, you know.
Big ass balls.
Yeah, 4 are grown and gone, but there's still 2 at the house eating everything but the furniture.
Yeah, eating what the other kids left behind. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, damn.
Is it all boys or is it?
No, it's 4 boys and 2 girls.
Oh, but still 4 boys.
Yeah.
Who's
man.
At home right now? The boys or the girls?
The boy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The one boy left now. We got down to 1. Oh, man. Just a matter of time.
Is he almost out?
No, he's 13.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Wow, you got a wow.
But hey, when he's gone, we're going to finally do it with the door open. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm looking forward to.
I already do.
Right.
And then my wife catches me. You nasty fuck. Yeah, that's what happens when you have little ones. My kids are much younger. because there's no, you know,
they don't know
no,
what they.
They wouldn't know if I even did try to roll around with mommy. They wouldn't even know what it was. They thought we were wrestling.
Oh, you
know
what I'm saying? They're having a good time.
Yeah,
can we join you?
No, they want to join in. I know. No.
Quick, that's
not wearing black underwear. Yeah. There's nothing. Stop.
This is not a game. This is dangerous. Ask mommy. You know what I mean?
Hold on, let her get her. Let her get her head up first.
That's
cool, man.
Hey, didn't you just recently get married like a couple years ago?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations.
Yes. No. Even yesterday, I was like, no.
I know, bro. They crazy.
Not only that, man, because they know what they're getting into, but they still do it.
Yeah.
And expect us to change, but make it work when we change for them.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they are crazy, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know that thing every month, that little PMS, you know,
One that's at my doorstep
the
right now.
The pre-mental syndrome. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If it's not that, they're going through the other syndrome, and then that bitch is going crazy. She's halfway to see now. Yeah. So I understand that, man. You know, being married, I'm hoping Ray's going to jump on soon, because we might as well go on and get off his hitch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Why does fucking people get married for bad for, man?
Because I want someone else to fill your misery.
Why do you
want to
join?
That's right. Congratulations on your engagement to Charlene.
Whoa.
They got no engagement, but Jesus fucking engaged? White people always stepping over bounds, man. Jesus Christ.
No, because think about it. He should live the life we live, man.
Right.
Think about it.
You can't win either way.
You're saying all this misery. Why do you want other people to join it, though?
Because maybe you might find a way out for us.
No, it ain't happening,
slavery.
Man.
It's like slavery.
No, and let's be real, man. It does give us stability. Because, you know, if I was single, man, I wouldn't even be doing laundry. You know what I'm saying? I'd be eating, you know,
top ramen.
Pop-Tarts, you know.
Whatever.
So they give you stability.
What are you doing, watching me?
Hey, you've been listening to my jokes? You're right, though, but I enjoy being
What's the number one perk to being married?
Actually, the taxes. Yeah.
Oh, look at it. Yeah, he said that quick. Yeah.
Oh,
I love it.
I know exactly.
Yeah.
He goes April 15th.
Yeah, yeah. Not even that, because see, I don't get any money back because in America you got to do other things. They used to give you a perk for bonus for having these children, which we have, but they don't do that shit anymore. But it's cool. It settles down on the other taxes of mine. So best thing of being married is taxes and knowing that I got a babysitter at home when I'm out at shows at night. That's the best thing about
being married. That's right.
Which is true.
But it is. And mine is crazy. Very similar to his.
Taxes?
It's not taxes. Mine is just, you know, I ain't got to spend money on no dates.
Yeah.
When you got to entertain. But when you marry, you're like, bitch, you know we ain't got no money.
Split this right down the middle.
You know, exactly. No, they don't split it down the middle. You don't go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, you just don't do it. It's a $1.25 rent a movie and a bag of popcorn that you went from the dollar store and got. And
exactly.
That's three of them if you need them.
Or some old DVDs.
Yeah, this marriage shit
Gladiator,
sounds fun.
Gladiator, the dog.
Yeah, fucking fantastic, guys. Woo! Selling me on this shit.
Yeah. Dude, but you might do it differently, man. You're Harriet Tubman. You might find a way out for us.
Harriet Tubman? What?
You might get it right.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, I guess she's equating, I don't know.
I'm equating that maybe. No, marriage is a slavery.
Is there an Underground Railroad thing?
There is. They usually call it divorce if you got a lot of money. But if you don't have a lot of money, it's not a divorce. It's not the route. You can't take
that.
Isn't it
better to be divorced when you're poor? You don't want to be divorced when you're rich.
You can afford it. Like my uncle said, when you're poor, it's cheaper to keep her. Yeah. It's cheaper to keep her when you're
poor. Why? You ain't got nothing to give her?
You damn right. That's why it's cheaper to keep her.
Why would you keep her? She can't take anything.
She takes everything.
Yeah. Still gotta get her half a nut.
Yeah. I'd rather give my ex-wife a fucking $5 than if I'm a fucking billionaire giving her a fucking half a billion.
Oh hell, you don't give her half a billion. You only settle for $200, so you still got $700,000.
Oh bullshit, you bullshit.
How old are you?
That's Kobe.
I'm 31.
He's ready.
See, you're perfect, bro. Perfect.
Tell him.
I got married, man, in like 22, 21.
Ooh. Oh, no.
You know, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know what I wanted then. You know what I'm saying?
Whose idea was it to get married, though?
Hers.
It was mine.
Oh, yeah, I know you didn't walk that block.
I did. I was in the Marines. I was over in Desert Storm.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Hey,
I wrote a letter. I want to marry you when I get back.
Oh, see.
And when I got to the airport, she's holding up the letter. Here you go.
Then you're like, PTSD.
That's what you should have claimed. Yeah. You should have went getting numb real quick.
I thought I was going to die. I didn't think I was coming home.
Exactly.
Yeah, this doesn't count.
I was delusional.
Hey, take her ass to Compton, let her get a night there and see her reality. Yeah, reality kicks in real quick.
It was the heat. Yeah. I had heat stroke.
Yeah.
But you guys made it through all those years and everything?
So. No. Actually, no. I divorced her.
Oh. Oh, shit. Okay.
Hell to the no.
Hell to the no.
No, I'm in my second marriage now. You know, and that's what I'm saying, you know? And I didn't, like... Yeah. We were married for 7, and then I was divorced for like 10. Yeah. So I was out there swinging the dick. You know what I'm saying? But then it was like, all right. I finally settled down with my new lady, and you know, we've been married now for 6 years. So, you know, but you when you get older, you kind of got all that stuff out of the way. In the 20s, man, you just want to bang everything.
Yes, you should. You should go through that.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be no marriage thought at all. In the 20s. Don't you think at all? At 20.
I agree.
Even when you're 30, you should be thinking, man, by the time I'm 35, I should have banged it up my dick.
Well, he can't get too old because then he got to, come here, kitty, let's go to the, you know what I mean?
Really, you got to get real rich for that.
Yeah. Well, I my first child at 34. My own. I was raising one since I actually got down here.
Right.
Which is Sarah. Since she was 4. She's what, 15? Almost 16 now. Mm-hmm. But other than that, but I'm okay with life right now. I love it. To be honest, I complain about it, but to be honest with you, life is pretty fucking good. My wife, she gives me a hard time. She's actually fucking pretty cohesive.
Yeah, it could be
for
way
being
worse.
A Mexican. For being a Mexican. Fuck,
yeah, it could be way worse.
Oh, it could be. It could be a lot.
Copacetic? Is that the word you're looking for?
No.
So cohesive, like the bonding?
For us together, it was true because you think about other relationships. You know, you can say, oh, relationships are like this and that. But no, I'll be honest with you, I give her a pat on her back because she takes a lot of bullshit from the shit we do. Especially in our industry. Now, what we have to do, you know, we're out, we're all fucking drinking, we're having a good time, and they want to go have a good time, but she's at home with three brats right now.
And they don't think we're working. No.
You're
out there having a good time. No, I'm not. Well, I am a little bit.
Yeah.
It's fun, but it's work.
Yes. Yeah, which is fun because they don't get fun.
Is your wife supportive?
Very supportive. That's she has to be. This is how we feed the family.
There it is.
You better shut the fuck up. But we ain't going to eat.
Keep it. If I'm picking cotton, baby, you won't happy with cotton. Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever I'm doing, you're going to be
happy
with it.
You want to eat?
Yeah, there it is. No matter what he's doing, it. Man, that's good, though. So now, any other projects coming up? I know you're busy with
the
things.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard, I have this show called The Comic Battle. Matt was on it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Do you three rooms now?
Dave and Buster's, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave and Buster's. Okay. It's called The Comic Battle. We do Ontario. Been doing it now for a little over a year. Arcadia location as well, which is about maybe 9 months. And now, starting next month, we're going to be doing it in San Diego as well.
Oh, wow. Awesome, congratulations, man.
Yeah, so
congratulations.
My intention is to increase that to all the Dave and Buster's. Why not? You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Why not?
But what it is, it's a show designed for the up-and-coming comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's the newer comics that are out there trying to... Because, you know, you gotta be real.
Because
you know,
remember when we started, there was
comics,
not too many doors
there's
open.
There's no love.
Yeah, there's not too
no
many doors
love.
Open.
No love. They're like, here's 2 minutes. What? That's it? All right, sit down.
My name is, and good night, everybody.
No. Or, hey, you bring your whole family,
right.
I'll give you 4 minutes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And if you bring one extra person, not a family, remember, I'll give you an extra minute.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ray hates when I do this, but I'm going to give him a compliment, if that's okay with you, Ray. No, it was one of the... I've done a couple contests before.
He's real bad. This is his first one. It's going to keep going.
Okay. Right. It was a really well-produced show. He actually had a panel of judges. It wasn't based on, like...
See, he starts it off like that. He starts talking about himself first for, like, 30 seconds. And then he's like talking about you.
No, he's saying Mel did
he's
a really
like,
good
oh,
job.
Yeah,
I haven't said my name yet. I've been talking about Mel's show here.
Okay. Keep going.
It's all right, man. I know. It's this English stuff.
It's English, motherfucker. English, all right?
Thank you, man.
No, but
I appreciate
that. It was a fun show. And there's like a cool intro video. He comes in like all badass. Like it's...
I'm embarrassed about that.
No,
man.
Is it on YouTube? We got a link.
My head
great,
is all
man.
Shining. You know? Oh Lord, have mercy.
Because first off, I've met Mel a couple of times, but the video makes you seem a lot more street.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's like, and then you meet me, you're like, oh, he's white.
No, no, it's not that.
No, nice. I am. Trust me, hey, I get teased all the time. You know, they say that.
No,
I
don't look
all...
at me, Louie. Just because we
right,
from the same streets.
No,
okay.
Man, they say I'm a white man trapped in a black man's body.
No,
you know
really.
They
say I'm a white man.
Hey, is that the most insulting thing you can get, though?
It is.
I would think it would.
It is, but I've learned to embrace it because it ain't going away. You know, okay. It's because of my voice. You know,
hey, did anyone ever say you sound like Mike Tyson?
Oh, Lord.
All the time, right?
That's even worse.
No, he
come on,
that.
Man.
No, he
I'm not. I can't be the only one fucking doing that.
Well, you can bite his ear off whenever you want.
Yeah. Fuck that. Matter of fact, eat the dog too. make him jealous. Eat the dog.
might be jealous.
Nice.
No, but you know you gotta. It's your life. Who you are is the type of personality who you're going to be. Am I correct?
Yes.
So you cannot divert from that and be like, oh, yeah, I'm gangster.
Man.
I'm street.
It's just the
I'm
way
good.
I talk. I still drink Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? You know, I still like my chicken. You know,
I love my chicken.
Don't you know, I'll go to Popeye's or I'll go to Boston Market. You know, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, wherever Bird is, I'm Bird there.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Exactly.
But just because
still listen to Ice Cube, you know.
You're damn right. It's a little older. Right. We didn't know 2 Chainz. I'm sorry. We had 2 Chainz. We're a little older. We're a little older crowd. Yeah. No, you can't take us anymore. two brothers that shouldn't be brothers, huh? Try to communicate.
No, I'm actually, like, listening. I listen to the same stuff you guys do. Nothing past, like, 98, right?
Right.
After that, you guys got probably back in the rock. You probably have, like, a Def Leppard album somewhere. I'm guessing.
No, I ain't got
I got an ACDC.
Steely Dan, though. I got some Steely Dan.
Steve Miller. I'm sorry.
Steve Miller Band?
Yeah, Steve Miller Band. I'm a big fan of him.
Oh, because of Jungle Love? Is that
what
it is?
You're damn right. Yeah, I love Jungle Love. That was got me through high school and college. Yeah.
No, but isn't it a better thing to be acting white because you won't get shot?
By who?
Cops, motherfucker!
Let me ask you this. Why is it called being acting white when you sound educated? When, like, why is that a white thing?
It's not
there's
a white...
lot of stupid-ass white people. Have you not seen the South?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So why is, like, every time, like, a man
I saw
educated,
Honey Boo Boo. That was enough.
Yeah, that's just enough to tell you, fuck, we ain't acting white.
No, but Jabba the Hutt. Looks like Jabba the Hutt fucked the thumb.
Because you gotta understand there was only two races in the last few decades. There's really only two races. There was only the white and the black. So if you had something of proper English, they said you were being proper, which was technically the white people.
Mm-hmm.
And then these Asian people came from the underground.
Hold on. Did you hear that Chris Rock joke, though? It was like, black people couldn't even sound educated, or else they would be freaking like beat up or whatever, because where'd you get this education, boy? You know what I'm saying? So it's like this is all... I'm trying to say, like, now that it's gone full circle, where they're claiming you guys are acting white, which I think... In hindsight, in light of what's happening in the fucking country with all this police brutality, I think it's actually a good thing to not be to feel threatened.
It helps. It helps a lot.
Yeah, because you know what? The first thing I do is pull out my insurance card and
you gotta pull that out real slow though, right? You gotta have a flashlight on that shit.
Still on the floor, but you say, officer,
I still know these kids and I am with them.
Yes, no, they're in the back, sir. Yeah, I'm driving a minivan. Yeah, no matter of fact, the other day I was speeding in a Prius and I was doing 5 over.
How's that possible?
Yeah, I know. It was real possible.
He was 25, he was going 30.
Yeah. I had a foot out giving a little gas. Yeah. And the officer just looked at me. I'm black. I'm sitting there all smiley with hands at 12 and 10. And just, what,
12 right? and 2, buddy. That's 12 and
10.
He had his lean going on.
You didn't hear the gangster part, dog. 12 and 10. 12 and 10. Yeah. So whatever. I'm sitting there rolling. And the cop just looked at me. And I was like, oh, God, he's going to come. Like raved and said bye.
Damn.
Yeah, I get waves in the Prius, bro.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a Prius, man. Prius is the fucking.
Now cool. Using a Cadillac.
No, you damn right. With some Yamas on it.
But Mel, have you said your sons are grown? Have you talked to them about how to handle dealing with the police at all?
Or absolutely.
Has that you've had that conversation?
Absolutely.
See, that's the type of conversation. A white dude or an Asian person never has to do, really.
Stop. Hold on for a second.
Procedures and protocol.
Before we go all this step,
right?
Before we go all this step,
I've had to have that conversation.
I don't want to pull it out. Are the kids fully black?
Yes, they are.
See, okay, then he's
it doesn't matter.
Because my kids are mixed, so
kids will have the same. Your kids will have the same.
Oh, no, no, because my kids are beautiful. Those motherfuckers can't have that. It's true. Am I correct?
Now, don't listen. It's not a good mix. He didn't get...
my kids are fucking beautiful. When they walk into place, people fucking pull the alarm. That can't be your daddy. That can't be your daddy. Come on, somebody get him. Yeah, because they're special treated. I was treated like a fucking rat. You know, as a kid, I was treated like a rat. You know, hair nappy, fucking clothes didn't match. Fucking, you know, that's why when you got older, you just had to get your shit together and say, fuck. That's why I went to education. When I went to school in Washington.
Went to education.
Yeah.
I passed it on the way here.
I learned some school.
Hold on, my bad. I was going to say, when I left Louisiana and went to Washington, you know, Seattle, all right, I made sure... You started following what the kids that were around you were doing. You know, the kids that had the magic shoes and had the things and follow their guidance and their parents and listen to them. And that's the reason why I say the way, or I talk the way I talk.
What years were you living in, did you go from Louisiana over to...
Oh, actually, I was in Louisiana from, I got to Seattle in 87.
So you went through the grunge rock era in Seattle.
Oh.
So you weren't like jinky up like...
No, we never did. Guy? You know what? Okay. You know what? When I was in Seattle, I was actually a prep. I was more into the, I had a... pink sweater on, polo.
Pink?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it rolled up. Because I went to... My school was North Seattle, which was like... We're 10 minutes from University of Washington.
Hey, is there a black kid in Twilight?
No.
Oh, damn. Sorry. I was going to say, you would have been in that movie.
Yeah, no, I would have made that movie.
It would have been like... You could just imagine Darius in a fucking polo.
But, no, you understand.
Chasing vampires and shit. He's all glittering.
You have to figure out your surroundings. If you're surrounded... We didn't have that many gangsters in my school that we went to. We thought we were gangsters because we lived in the hood. But when we get to our school, white kids always want to follow you. What were you doing? Or, oh, man, look at them.
Right.
But we wore khakis. You know, we had Dockers, and you know, we had
penny loafers.
Yes, the penny loafers with the actual penny.
I went to Pacific Palisades High School.
Oh, shit,
isn't that Richie Rich?
There's a lot of
syllables in there. Isn't that Richie Rich? Isn't that they got that?
No, it was the busing system. You get bussed out of L.A.
Yes,
you remember that? You remember that? Yeah.
Yes, the busing system
take you out of L.A.
Thank you.
And out to Woodland Hills.
How long did it take you to get to school, bro?
Probably about 45 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. My first joke I did down here was how the busing system took me from Seattle and took us 45 minutes way out of my way. And the best thing about going there was a free lunch.
Right.
That was my first fucking joke I ever did at the Brand Pro back in 06. Yeah, don't use it yet. Fuck you.
Yeah.
No, but it's the busing system which killed us because I passed 9 high schools to get to the school that they said I should belong to.
No, man, it was the best thing that could have happened to me because I was in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So they took me out to the Palisades. I was like a block away from Malibu Beach.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So where'd you live? I mean, where'd you live? Where were you raised?
What's that?
Where were you raised?
Born in Chicago and then raised in West LA.
Where in Chicago?
Where?
Just wrong.
South Side.
Okay, really?
Yeah, that's all I know.
Though. Oh,
that's all. I left it at like age 6 or something like that. 7700 South St. Lawrence. I do know the address.
Oh, so you know the address, yeah.
That's all I know.
Now, have you been back to Chicago to see?
No.
No?
The weather is just, especially in the wintertime.
Well, yeah, winter and summer suck, but fall is gorgeous.
Oh, man, it's that lake. You know, that lake with that wind called, they call it the Hulk.
Oh.
As soon as you feel like, ooh.
Yeah, that coldness.
Ooh.
That coldness that creeps up and blows behind you, man.
Yeah, buddy.
It's a tough one. So you went all the way, did you play sports out there at Palisades, too?
Oh, yeah.
Dominated, huh?
Yeah.
Dominated.
I didn't dominate. I was a defensive guard and end, so, you know.
Damn. Nice,
man. Yeah.
Just show up being black, huh?
Did they bus you in for sports, or is it...
Yeah, it was part of the... Yeah, you stay later, and they had a bus, later bus, to take you back to LA.
Okay.
Yeah, it was cool.
So, like, they were recruiting for their school. They're like, you know what? Not enough talent.
Oh, this is so racial right now. That is so racial.
I'm trying to be honest. Is that
no, I know.
Okay. Everything's racial. I mean, racial, not racist. It's definitely race-based.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was a mix, a mix of the kids together.
Absolutely.
Bust those Palisade kids.
Well, yeah, you get a higher level of education. It was considered a magnet school. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But apparently my scores got me out there. And you know what? It's the best thing, man.
Yes, I am attracted to white girls. Positive.
Exactly.
Fucking positive.
We get to go to your house.
That's the best part of the magnet.
Man, I've been invited to so many houses. We had bong for lunch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is cool. Your maid is making us lunch. Cool.
Yeah, how many girls pissed off their fathers with you? Is it?
No, I never saw the dads. They they knew when to get me out. Before he got home, that's for sure.
Knew how to do that shit to get him in and get him out.
Yeah, the back window already open, ready for you.
Exactly.
Fuck that. You got the front.
You said you were in the Marines, right?
Yes, sir.
What did you do in the Marines?
I was called a bulk fuel engineer. So pretty much I was a gas man. You know?
Okay.
I just refueled all the helicopters, the fighter jets, and the tactical vehicles.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, man, it was cool. And after that, after I got out, I became a salesman for propane.
Hmm. So you're the Hank Hill of black people?
It's King of the Hood, though.
Yeah, King of the Hood.
Propane and propane accessories.
Yeah.
So we took a little sidetrack talking about Darius and his life in Seattle. The original question, though, was, so what do you tell your kids about the cops and stuff?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just tell them to don't be trying to question and challenge the cops. To be honest with you, I put my number four. Yeah. Put him in a jail system.
What?
Yeah, man. The neighbor next door, his nephew and my son were the same age, so somehow he got checks from the neighbor in his room. What the fuck is this? He didn't want to tell me. He didn't want to rat his boy out. So on his birthday, I had him go to it's like a Scared Straight program.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was a sheriff's
spot. Did you get to watch and laugh your ass off the whole time?
Absolutely.
He's like, get over here. You hold on to my belt loop right here.
Yeah, he had no idea. He said, he had told me he wanted to be an officer one day. I'm like, okay, perfect. I got some training for you. Because he still didn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me the truth.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, let me just wait. I had this planned out like a couple months. I was like, I'm going to be cool, act like I'm not mad about him stealing the neighbor's shit. But I'm going to wait. And on his birthday, I took him in there. And there were other kids, too. And all the parents sat in the back room. And the kids, the guy went up front. And he said, do you guys know why you're here? Because you stole or you lied and you are going to jail. And them kids were like, what? And my son wouldn't even look at me.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew. He's like, oh, you got me.
How old was he?
At the time, he was 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So, they spent the whole day in jail. They had to wear the jumpsuit.
Yeah.
They had the guys yelling at him, talking shit to him.
So, did they have the cameras there, baby, too, y'all? At all?
Huh?
Did they have the cameras there, too, at all?
No, there was no cameras. Okay. You know, they made him eat that food.
Yeah.
And then, at the end of the day, they had to talk to us through the bars.
Oh,
shit. On the phone?
That was interesting.
Or through the holes?
Yeah, it was through the holes, yeah.
Okay.
Did he lose your shit? Was he crying? I'm sorry.
No, he was like, hey, Dad.
Shit.
I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. He knows he's going home.
Yeah. I was like, you all right in there? You learn? He said, yeah. Yeah, then all his eyes started watering. I'm like, you don't want to get fucked, do you? I know what it is.
Do the inmates like go and talk to him?
Yeah, they get in their face. You want a stick? Because they have to walk around with a sign too that says what they did. His said, "I stole a wallet."
Oh.
And so, you want to be a thief, huh? You want to, so they all, got your wallet. Take mine, bitch. Yeah. Come on, motherfucker. Yeah. And they're like, I don't know this man. Take your wallet. You know, so it was a nice little experience. And he cleaned right up, man.
Wow.
Cleaned up.
That's good.
Got back on the wrestling team. And he was number one in the league.
Dang.
170 pounds. Did
that's
a great
good.
Job.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Did he go to college after that?
No, nah, man. This motherfucker working at McDonald's.
Oh, come on. Now.
It's a true story, too.
Come on, little Caesar.
True story. Get the fuck out of here.
He's at least making family proud. Okay, the Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit, they get a $15 raise.
Yeah. McDonald's boosted up that high. I'm on board, too.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go there.
In-N-Out,
so I can be happy about
it. Yeah, In-N-Out, you get benefits, huh?
Yeah, and they start at like $11.50 an hour.
And every girl there is pretty much smoking hot.
Yeah, but they all got zits from the oil, you know? Would you like
Bucky it? Just said every girl at In-N-Out is hot.
There's one that he just sits in the drive-thru, doesn't order anything. That's
shit. Yeah, Bucky. All right, let's move on. Bucky's over here fantasizing about In-N-Out, bitch.
Who's hungry? Yeah. We're going In-N-Out.
All right, cool. I need
how
a burger.
How old is this chick, Bucky?
Yeah, look at you.
I never talked to him, but.
Oh, okay. Just stare through a windshield.
You guys down to talk about comedy a little?
Maybe. No, we're not down to talk about comedy. We're talking about life, man. This is about male. This
I was about to ask him, what in your life do you pull real life stuff into comedy? Do you pull anything from real life?
Man, I talk about, it's like the most embarrassing stuff, the frustrating stuff. Seem like, for some reason, the audience laughs more when you're in pain up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's some fucked up shit.
Isn't it? Laugh at my pain.
Like, but yeah, they're able to relate to
my brothers so locked me in the closet.
That shit happened to me last week.
What the hell y'all laughing at? But no, I talk about my family. I talk about the kids. You know, being a black man, you know, mm-hmm. treated like a white guy, you know, mm-hmm. Selling propane. So I really,
at least it's better selling crack.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I always pull from life, you know what I mean? I don't talk about surface things that are funny, you know, because they're my story. So I'm going to, not only am I going to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it with conviction.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm mad.
You're mad.
They know I'm mad. And it's, like I said, the angrier or madder I am, the more the audience laughs. They're like, he's losing it up there. This is hilarious.
I feel his joy of his life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, do you write or do you just basically, what's your style when you go into?
Cause sometimes I write. I also teach, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I have a school. It's Laughing to Success Academy.
Oh, really?
And it's a 9-week course. I show the comics how everything from writing to performing in 9 weeks, where you have a 5-minute set that you walk away with. And a lot of what I teach is what I learned from Judy Carter.
Okay.
You know, what I teach is the setup, punchline, and act out. You know, you're going to say something funny, and then do something funny. The next joke, they're going to say something funny, and do something funny. By the second joke, the audience is like, okay, he's going to say something funny, and do something. So now you are in control of them because they get the dance. But when you're up there talking and just telling stories, they don't know when to laugh. So they're kind of listening. It could be a funny story, but they don't want to ha 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 because they want to hear what you're saying.
What if you pause when you hit the punchline hard?
You got to do it that way. Okay. You got to put the punch on that sentence at mm-hmm. the end. So when you say what you say, that's their cue to laugh. You know what I'm saying?
So you're training the monkeys in the
exactly.
audience.
Exactly.
No, that's, yeah, because I do a lot of short story form stuff, and I've mm-hmm. learned to stop at the punch and wait for the laugh.
Yes, absolutely.
So I used to step over every single laugh. I would rush to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it was a nice spoken word, but I wasn't getting the lead. I wasn't comedy.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, comedy's different, and a lot of people have different techniques of what we do. You
sure.
know, what you obviously perfect what you do on stage. You see where your laugh's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And do you videotape each of your sets or?
No.
Record them?
No, because I'm kind of fat, so I don't like seeing.
You're wearing black, though, dude. You're wearing black.
See all
just
that.
Down.
No, but I record. I definitely audio record most of my shows because I want to, especially if it's a new bit,
yeah.
I want to see how it goes and, you know, what I need to adjust. But, man, It's a marathon. It's not a, you know, it's not a sprint.
You need
correct.
Some evidence to take back to the wife. Let her know you're
yeah. Oh, well, she knows. Honey, she honey. Knows. She's following me on Facebook. You know? Where did you check in? Did you bring me home something to eat?
Oh, I was definitely checking in twice.
Come on.
So now do you throwing new bits all every week, or what do you do? Because you do. How many times a month?
I would have
do
to say I'll add a new bit. Maybe every 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Just depends. Because the way that I do my comedy is when I have a new bit, I sandwich it between two existing bits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, bit could mean like a segment of jokes that you talk about a particular subject. So if I have a new one, it's going to suck. First jokes, they suck. So the last thing I want to do is open up with it because yeah. now it's not that good, and then I want to kill myself. They didn't laugh. So I get them up front with stuff that I know I can get them with. Then I put the new bit in between. Like right now my newest one is, I'm talking about LL Cool J, how people always tease me or, you know, come up to me like, are you LL Cool J? Anybody ever tell you?
Oh,
like, no.
Did they ever think you were Chris Donner? do that.
Yeah, bro.
Listen, LL Cool J, he's the fucking.
Yeah,
he's like
fitting image
in high school.
Yeah. Oh my god! You should never say that out loud.
Oh, yeah, really? Dog. Yeah, don't put that in the air, dude.
He was great above me.
No, there's a comic. I don't know if you know AD. Do you know AD?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He called me the morning that this whole and he said,
"Where are you at, Mel?
He said, listen, man. And this is at 7:30 in the morning. You know, AD don't get up that early. He said, hey, man, listen. That dude that shot them cops, he looked like your black ass. Stay in the house. I'm like, what? Yeah. I turn on the TV and I'm like, oh, shit, he does look like me. And my wife is all rubbing her hands $1 million. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell?
Tell me, they're shooting old white ladies or old Mexican ladies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, coming at your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Like No, I remember that I left the gym one day and it was a motorcycle cop. And he was like looking at me as I'm driving. I'm like, no, please, I'm not him. Because they hadn't found him yet.
Yeah, I got the wrong car.
You know, that was some bullshit, though. I don't know if y'all read the manifesto.
Yeah, that was.
I read that thing. I was like, damn, he pretty much opened the can of worms.
Yeah.
And then it got silence, and then they burned him. Mm-hmm. You know, so what the hell? So I don't know. I mean, I don't support, you know, killing cops because I think the cops really do have a difficult job out there. To me, I feel like they're the troops, you know, in the streets.
Unfortunately,
you know?
They're starting to look more and more like troops.
They are. And it's just unfortunate the ones that go off the deep end and do extra stuff. We already know about those people. But I think that there's some good cops out there.
There's a lot of good. I know. I have a couple of friends that are cops. So, obviously, I can't believe when I'm having a beer.
Hell, you need them when you get an accident, that's for sure.
Right. Or when I'm having a problem.
Get his license. You know what I'm saying?
Got a problem, you call him right up. And your boys are right there for you.
What it sucked to him, like his manifesto, it sounded like he was trying to be doing the right thing. And all these other cops were basically like holding back. Calling him fucking the N-word.
Yeah, man.
I would have probably flipped that too. He went through a lot of shit.
He
did. It wasn't just one station, one cop. Like, everyone came down.
That manifesto, I read that whole thing. I was like, wow, this could be a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can't wait. Because I didn't read the manifesto. I'm waiting for the movie.
Right. That's
a long. It was a few pages.
You read the whole thing?
Read the whole thing out loud. Because my wife was listening, you know. Two quarters into it, she was snoring.
Because my boy called me up. It was like, dude, and he's a lawyer. He said, did you read this manifesto? I'm like, yeah, I did. Oh, did you hear the point when he said this? I'm like, oh, yeah. So he exaggerated on that point. I'm like, cool. And he basically gave me the fucking dummy point. Cliff notes. He gave me cliff notes. I was like, yeah, cool, man. He said, man, this motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah,
that's all right, cool, man. So that's how it was with me, man. I couldn't do it.
No, he really was, like, in high school, he was a cool ass dude. Like, he was quiet. Like, so when everyone heard that too, like, it was all going on around Facebook.
Mm-hmm. He was in the military too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and he came military. Back and he had a. Yeah, you were in the military.
Decorated officer,
though.
You were in the military.
All right.
So now, what's up with the LL Cool J?
I apologize for bringing that up.
No. But the LL Cool J, though.
LL Cool J, the new bit.
Tell me.
Yeah, so I just sandwich it, and that's how I build the bits. And then after a while, you know, I either get a suggestion or I start getting tired of my jokes.
Yeah.
Then I write a new bit, and that gets me excited because I know I got to sandwich it and I got to bring it on the other two. So that's how I, you know, because I got burnt out with comedy right around year 12 or 13, and I took a whole year off. And what I did was I had a radio show. And when I came back, I said, all right, I'm going to bring some motivation with it this time. So.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about your motivation speaker, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. You know, that's what I like that, though. So now what do you do your motivation speeches for? Is it for the prison or the churches?
It's for the churches, schools? The schools. And a guy approached me today at Squeaky Clean, after Squeaky Clean, saying that he had connections with the prisons.
I would love to give my information.
All right.
As well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, because obviously.
Just don't drop the soap.
No. Here we go back to that. I coached for years sport, and I used to go around and travel.
Can you tell them what sport it is so we can all laugh again?
Yeah. I used to go coach ballet.
No.
Yeah, fuck it.
Close enough. Tell them the truth, Darius. Yeah, it was men's enough. What? Men's?
I coached actually men and women gymnastics. Actually, I had several college kids for female and men's sports for gymnastics. They had a national team. And Brett McClure, thank you for being in the Olympics in 2004. Thank you, actually, silver medalist, fucker. Yeah. Colorado Springs, I had my nuts thrown over the wall. Yeah, that was me. All right, but other than that, I'm very interested in that.
Because all right.
Obviously I travel to other clubs and, you know, motivate the other kids of how
absolutely.
We do. And we were state
being
champs
a stand up, man, I'm gonna tell you right now. Being a stand up really, like, these speakers that are out there are boring.
Aren't they?
They just tell they're a story. Dry and yeah. They try to be funny, you know, and there's some really powerful speakers. I don't want to knock them, but I'm saying the fact that we have that edge of comedy that we can just drop a word or a sentence
and we find them cracking up. Yeah.
You could throw in a couple non-joke statements and they feel like, wow, what a great speaker. But correct. The whole time you got them cracking up. So being a comic really does have power. And I think if more comics understood how to also be clean, you could get
way more
work.
Were you clean from the get-go, or when did you start working clean? I mean, you've been doing it 18 years.
Back and forth, really. It just depended on the venue. If somebody asked me to perform at their church or their birthday party, I mean, I've done birthday parties, man, where, you know, I'm standing next to the swimming pool and there's kids running past. You know, what the hell am I going to say now? So
can somebody get this little
is the other question, because guys like me, who I don't consider myself to be a clean comic yet. I mean, I have maybe 7 to 10 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
What is your definition of clean, other than no cussing?
Well, there's probably like four different levels of clean. Just okay. So you know, there's TV clean,
mm-hmm.
There's squeaky clean, there's church clean, and then they're just clean. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the venue. I'll say the most strict is probably the church clean.
Yeah,
I could imagine. Yeah.
Because you can't do any innuendos. You can't, you know, talk about sex or drugs, you know, unless you're saying that you're delivered yourself. You know what I'm saying?
You got to give it to God, because now I'm...
Right, and then you can talk about it, because then they'll crack up knowing, he wants to be better, okay. You know what I mean? But you can't get up there, man, I used to smoke me some weed.
And I'm about to go home and give me a little bit more. I didn't say F word. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. And comics get mixed up with that.
Yeah.
Comics get mixed up with that a lot. They're like, oh, man, I could do your show, man. I'd do my whole set without cussing. I'm like, no, Bruce Jingles, that ain't going to work. That is not going to work. They do not want to hear about you and your marijuana travels.
Your 4 DUIs.
Right. No, that ain't going to fly, player. Are you sure? Yes, I'm very sure.
So you're squeaky clean. You're looking for, obviously, a style, but like what's the, I mean, just material-wise, what are topics that you can't talk about? What are the topics you can talk about?
Oh, man, you can talk, if you think about it, you can talk about anything, even your existing jokes. This is what I tell comics. Don't think that you got to go and write a clean set. Use what you already have and extract the clean from it. There might be certain jokes that you do, you don't want to say that one.
Yeah,
but there's other ones that you could say it in a different way. You know what I'm saying?
What they do when they do music.
Like, let me give you an example. Okay. I got a joke that I use when I talk about my kids. I say, man, I got six kids. You know, four are grown and gone. There's still two at the house eating nothing but the furniture, blah, 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 blah. Then I say... and I figured this out, that from birth to age 18, each kid costs $320,000. Yeah, I could have been a millionaire, but now I'm just proud.
Yeah.
Now, when I do it dirty, I'm like, yeah, you know, each kid costs $320,000. You know, instead of buying condoms, I thought I wanted to feel it. Oh, I'm feeling it, all right.
Yeah.
Feeling stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So certain ones you have to... say it different.
Unfortunately,
to get your point across.
My head sounded very clean.
right. I can't say condoms because I wanted to feel it.
Yeah.
That's I mean, that's what we all know when the girls
are,
I just want to feel you. You know how the girlfriend is. Yeah, I just want to feel you. Okay, we're going to have a baby, bitch. Exactly.
You're going to feel all of me coming out of you.
There's another joke that I do. I haven't really figured out how to clean it up yet. Because it could be a little offensive, too. When I say that my kids, they don't appreciate nothing because they don't pay for nothing. Like our oldest teenager. He thinks that he can take a shower for 2 hours.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Not at my house. I'm like, do-do-do-do-do. Hey, do-do-do-do-do. Hey, man. You're running out all the hot water, and I know what you're really doing. So one way I'll say it is I'll say, uh-huh. As a matter of fact, I'm going to slide this picture of Jesus underneath the door. So the Christian people, they don't like that. Yeah, but at the clubs, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to slide this picture of your grandmother underneath the door. Yeah. They're like, oh, grandma. You know what I mean? He's like, oh. You know what I mean? So it's always a different approach.
To when you take it.
But if you stay to your core of what you have, it's not like it's a fresh new joke. Like when I see some comics that don't do clean a lot.
And they're like, try to do clean.
Yeah, they're like explaining the joke, and it's just not hitting. But if you have jokes and you're used to telling them, and you just make the adjustments, they'll still hit.
Because what I've heard many times, they say write it
clean.
And then
you can spice it up wherever you need
to. My question is what about innuendo? Like I tell a bit, I'm purposely, this is the only clean joke I ever wrote.
Oh, here we go.
But I wrote a piece.
Mel said it cost you some money for this advice.
Okay, all right. But I talk about how I think that in California all women are like parking spaces,
right?
Because all the good ones are always taken. And then I get a little dirty. I'm like, I was right past the one that reminds me of my ex-girlfriend because it's constantly getting double parked in.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
It's a building innuendo, and it ends up with me putting myself in a handicap spot. But the whole point is there's no cussing in it's all innuendo. Is that still considered clean, or that's not church clean?
It's not church clean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could say that joke just with a little tweak and still get the laughs out of it. You know, you just got to come up with something else instead of saying double parked. You know, maybe something like...
parallel part.
Well, the rest of it gets worse. Then it talks about me trying to get... I'd rather get a metered spot, but, I don't want my mom to find out I'm still paying for parking. Stuff like that. So
right.
It's sexually based euphemisms, but it's done through a parking lot instead of actually saying what I want to say. I don't know. It's the only joke I've ever written. Everything else is stories.
Yeah, which is half the time most of our shit is, basically your life.
Right.
What you get. And I found out the best way to do it just your life is because no one can steal it.
Exactly, yeah, bro.
No one can steal it.
There's so many comics out here that are upset and mad at each other because they're like, he stole my joke. Well, if it's a standard joke, you can, of course, anybody can say
things.
Yeah,
if you talk about a girlfriend that you hate.
Yeah.
You
but when you're talking about your life, that's true to you.
Or your opinion of your life in that moment.
Yes.
If somebody does steal it, it's like, well, you obviously took it from this.
And it's not, it's also by accident. Some jokes just happen like that.
There's a few jokes.
You can end up writing a joke and it sounds similar,
And it's not.
But when it's personal, then it's like, oh, okay, all right.
Because I used to do this joke about Chuck E. Cheese. We took my son to a second. I did a show for Bill Word at the Elks Lodge down in Buena Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that same day, I took my son to Buena Park. Or not to Buena Park, to...
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, no, Huntington Beach. Chuck E. Cheese over there. And I was looking for these pits that they said all these balls that your kids would and watch out for the pits. But there was no balls there. So I'm looking for the balls. And I'm like, where's the balls? Where's the balls? Right. So I do that joke in front of them, and boom, it's out there. Then a couple of months later, I heard Kevin Hart has a joke about Chuck E. Cheese and the balls in it. So I'm like, oh. Two separate jokes.
You didn't know Kevin Hart was there, did you?
Yeah.
Watching him in the back, dude. You didn't know that shit, did you?
He was buried in the ball, but he was standing straight up.
Yeah, he probably was standing up. Yeah. But so it was like, and my friend was like, dude, you guys have similar things because I have a minivan joke. He had one.
Right.
But it's just similar lives because our kids are almost the same age.
Right.
And it's just similar things. And that's which is the tones about it. So.
Exactly.
Matt said he needs another refill. You need some water thing?
Saying.
You good time, man?
We're
trying to get you out because you got another show tonight, man.
Yes, sir. Yes,
busy
sir.
Mofo. Hey, any movies, anything coming up?
Hell no. I used to do the whole. What's that?
Keep going. I was going to ask you, so going back to motivational speakers, who's the top motivational speaker in the game right now?
I would have to say,
Big banana hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Banana hands.
Yeah, he's like a giant, right?
Banana hands, yeah.
Yeah, he's
right?
a giant.
Yeah.
Do you study these guys as well, or no?
No, because I really think that as a comic, right. I can blow them out the water.
Even like top of the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, which I think, which is true, because you're already used to a crowd. Now you bring in more excitment to that same crowd. Because all they
little crowd work, pitches. They're not expecting that. You know
not
what I mean?
Not only that, because I think if, for me, which I was telling my brother about a year ago, is, hey, I want to start doing more motivation speaking, is because...
Yeah, but you got to motivate. That's a difference between a comedian and a fucking motivation speaker.
Right. So what you do is...
You're a coach.
You know, like with me, I have... If I were to put all my material together, it'd probably be at an hour and a half.
Right.
So I have like different things. So it depends on where I'm going.
No.
And I'll use...
Think about the business though that you're looking at, because most of the time a business will hire you. So when we hire someone to come into our company, we're someone from the fire alarm industry, and what we want to do is get our engineering department or our freaking sales department motivated.
Right.
You have to come in there. So they go in there, all they're going to do is say, hey, you know, if you sold this and you sold this, oh my, you guys can do this. And that's all they do.
Right.
These guys
but
are
see,
trouble.
I actually have jokes about customer service.
There you go.
About working in an industry and working in an office.
Correct.
And people burning popcorn in the microwave. Yes. Right. All these crazy things.
So they can relate to you and they're laughing, but where's the... I'm trying to get at where's the motivation?
Well, the motivation is like before, during, and after. Like, I'm like, you guys...
It's the same with your comedy.
Like, for example, I do a lot of shows for Primerica.
Okay.
So Primerica, I open up with like 4 or 5 jokes just revolved around them.
Right.
See, it's a trick. Because now I'm talking about them and how the salesmen walk on the porch and people turn the lights off.
Yes,
they you know, Jehovah, and all this, you
the
know,
new Jehovah's Witness.
Exactly, right. And that I would strangle the people across. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I got them cracking up about their industry, right. And then I slide into my.
Did
office
you have
stuff.
To develop the motivational part as well? Like,
yes.
So you gotta think about it and come up with that as well.
The build, break, build. So you build them up really high, then you break them down on what you want.
The same way we do a motivation speaking with legal show.
Positive,
we do legal show motivation
deep,
speaking.
Positive? Is that the...
Man, you guys know more about it than I do.
What?
Right? Well, you know, the main thing is you're there for a reason.
Yeah.
So if you... It's almost like you sneak it in up front. You're like, that's right, you guys. You're one of the best companies out there.
Yeah.
Great customer service. Da, 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 da. Then you start hitting them with the jokes about their industry.
Yeah.
And then I slide into my life. Then all of a sudden, I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about my wife. And they're just dying because they're still people.
Right.
They're still regular people. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of forgotten why you're there.
Right.
And then when I finish up, I'm like, you know what? Hey, you guys have been awesome. You know, keep up the great work. Keep up all the hard work out there. Respect, you know. So it's kind of like...
You're basically doing your comedy act in at the very
yes!
end.
Yes! Yes,
so
bro!
So in a sense, you're cheating.
Well,
you're
not really.
Cheating by
I mean,
what?
They're getting entertained, so they're getting their value.
Yes.
But if I'm looking at straight up as like... You know, I'm thinking motivational speaker.
I call
like
it
Lombardi.
Motivational comedy, is what I say. that's what I call it.
So, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, I'm thinking in my mind like a Lombardi speech, you know, like
right.
like a you know Rudy
yeah,
or something
but
like.
I don't come across that way. Yeah. They know I'm a comedian,
so they know. Okay,
and I'm going to bring you motivational comedy.
Not only that, because a lot of times people when you go to these conventions, they don't know that you're a comedian.
Right.
What they do is they bring you out, and you're going to. Give a speech for 40 minutes.
Right.
About a new product. Because a lot of times they hire you to release a new product.
Yes.
So you're releasing a new product. What you do is you study the new product and you decide. So what you do is you bring humor to that new product.
Right.
You test it out. You've heard the test results. You read everything. And what you do is you come out there. For instance, when we had to release a new skill for what the guys have to come up and do. So you go to new clubs and you have to teach these guys, hey, you're going to teach this new skill. This is the way we're going because of the world is. You know, directing it this way. So what you do, you make humor in that because you bring yourself in that, and they can relate to your personal opinion about it. But you're a comedian, so you have a backbone.
Yeah, it's kind of like you get a little more leeway.
Yes.
Because you're telling them up front, hey, I'm a motivational comedian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of get, okay, well, let's see how this works. But when you, it's just like what we, when we know that we can get these people in the bars, get them at the improv, get them wherever, it's, they're no different.
No, not only
and
that.
When you can
these
be clean.
These guys pay $300 and something a day to sit there and they're bored of that guy that says, hey, we're releasing the Microsoft 19-foot thing out there and this is what it can do for you. But you come out and say, whoa. Guess what we got for you, motherfuckers?
Right.
MF-er.
Right.
And so, yeah. But you do that, and they with this whole thing, and then you make it, you know you can use it. Like Tony, you know you can use it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what they pull.
And then I bring a team, too. It depends on the venue. Sometimes they'll just have me come in. Like I said, I do a lot for Primerica. You know, I've done probably, I don't know, 14 of their offices. Oh, wow. I went to Orlando and did, like, you know, 2,000 people.
The Irvine one?
It's the same thing. Yeah. I get them up front. I do my own stuff. And then I show them up at the end. And they love it.
Yeah, as long as you bring
in a team. I'll bring in, like, let's see, maybe another comic that I know would fit that corporate environment.
Right.
Maybe I'll have them finish it off with a certain type of magic, like Omar. I don't know, you know, the great Omar.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the great.
He's perfect for adult style venues where, you know, it's all like ghetto magic because it ain't working. The whole time it's hilarious. He's got you cracking up like he doesn't know what he's doing. And they're like, this poor guy doesn't even know magic. And then at the end, he just blows them all away. So when you can do that kind of experience, they don't care. They just laugh their asses off for an hour, hour and a half. Right.
And not
they
only
got
that,
a
guess
message.
What? They talk about it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
It's
and
totally
look for
different
for
than what they're
time.
Used to. Yes. So it's a whole different approach than the normal motivational speech. Yeah. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And it's a big, I mean, cause like you said, if you can hone your skills down to the less, like, whatever, it's a freaking dollar. There's
yeah,
a dollar sign out there.
Yeah, making $100,000 to $200,000
a year.
Yeah, Jesus.
No, a speech.
Oh,
some
no,
of
that's
them.
Tony in this.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it comes to making $100,000 to $200,000 on just the motivational speaking and all that. And I was telling my brother, focus that direction. Look.
Does that
there.
Also help you get into like corporate gigs?
Oh,
absolutely.
Way faster.
Absolutely.
Way faster.
You know, I haven't done much on the college end. Maybe one or two colleges. Because I felt like I'm too old, you know.
But
you're
not
really related.
Hilarious and you're clean. They're
but good. I talk shit at the, you know, I went to Riverside College. They had a little pizza pub down the street. Man, I was like, oh, they ain't going to get it. I went in there and ripped everybody a new asshole. And they loved it, man. They were like, oh, I was like, oh, shit, I can do
score one for the black guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, so tell us one more time how to find you, man.
Laugh to success. That's laugh, the number two, success.com. And of course, on Facebook, which is, did you put on some deodorant or something, Glenn?
Yeah.
Smelling good.
You're real smelly.
Mel Austin Comedy is Facebook. You know, great way to reach me on Facebook. And, you know, I do comedy everywhere, man. Everybody needs to laugh. And seriously, you know, to my fellow comics, if you can do some clean too, it's just going to open more doors. I'm not saying to shut down the dirty, but we need to make people laugh. People have some hard lives, man. You know, they're dealing with relationships. They're dealing with job, you know, loss. They're dealing some deaths in the family. There's all these different things that people are dealing with.
That
so we get an opportunity to make them laugh for an hour or 2 hours at a show. It's really helping them. So I think the more we can get out into the public, because it does heal people. You know, people have kicked anxiety, they've kicked depression, even cancer. You know
and
what I'm
suicide
saying? And suicide
from,
because
of
laughter.
Yeah.
So that's what I say to my comics, man. Let's just keep making people laugh. Let's get them happy. And because right now, it's only limited to the clubs, and everybody needs it.
You know what, though? I really appreciate you coming in. I know you got a show to get to.
Yes, sir.
I know Matt got his finger up. I got one more thing to say. Let me get this out, though. We really appreciate it, man. You gave us great advice. But I'm going to let Matt, because he's...
I wanted you to plug a couple dates. Anything in late September, early October?
Yeah.
See you,
you know what? I was supposed to promote Squeaky
for
tonight, but they bumped it up a week, so I had to show today. The next one is Saturday, October 11th.
Okay, we'll make sure
Ontario
we definitely get
Improv.
This dropped before
Ontario
that.
Ontario Improv, Squeaky Clean.
Yes,
and what time does that start?
Starts at 2 o'clock. Get there at 1, though, I guess.
Can they hit you up for tickets on Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? And make sure you tell them you heard them on Them Nuts, man. You heard Mel Austin here on Them Nuts.
Squeaky Clean on Them Nuts. That's perfect.
Squeaky Clean can't say Them Nuts because Them Nuts, we're crazy. We're not ballsy.
Also, I'll have the comic battle at Dave & Buster's Ontario Thursday, September 18th at 8 o'clock.
Once again, man, please check out Mel. Please follow him on his social media.
Thank you.
And thank you again for coming out to
Mel
the studio.
Mel Austin
in the house. Hey, we enjoyed having you on the show, man. This is Them Nuts. Find us on all your social media. Holla at us. We're out.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com, because we have got more to come.